Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. Of course, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Jen today, still out sick. Hopefully she'll be returning with us tomorrow, but that means we get a Dude Tuesday with Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Dude! Get well soon, Jen. But great to be with the two of you knuckleheads, for sure.
Oh, we
Keith, Chewy.
We certainly appreciate that, Jason. Is there an expectation? We were discussing this a little bit before the show and trying to figure out what our expectations for Jordan Love should be. And I think everybody just assumes that he's going to take that next step forward. We see him putting in the work in. Chase Daniel putting out a post on social media about how hard Jordan Love is working this offseason. Is it fair to just assume he's going to take that step, or what's the likelihood, I guess, that he maybe goes through a bit of a, even though he's not a sophomore, it's his second year starting, that sophomore slump, and the league catches up to him just a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's a chance of that, but I think you're right. I think we're all kind of assuming that things are going to be star-spangled awesome. And, I mean, I don't think that that's unreasonable to think, but, you know, I hate this because, and I've said this to Tausch before too, like if you, right now the kind of climate with Packers fans is if you suggest that there's still some bumps in the road and that the NFL defensive coordinators now have a full season of film of what the Packers do with Love at quarterback and what throws he makes effectively and what throws maybe are not his strength and things that they could maybe do and ways that they could throw him off his game. Because, look, defensive coordinators do not want to watch him do what he did in the final nine games leading into San Francisco and what he did against San Francisco until about 6 minutes left in the game, or the fourth quarter anyway. They don't want to allow that to happen again. So it's their job to figure out ways to slow him down so he's not putting up a 70% completion percentage and not throwing for 18 touchdowns against one pick. So I would anticipate that that'll be the case, that there'll be defensive coordinators who will have some fresh ideas for him and figure out ways to attack him. But I still think he's good. Like, at the bare minimum, he's good. And so I will be very surprised if he's not, you know, not putting up the numbers he did during the second half of last season, but certainly putting up good numbers.
Jason,
what's up, Stone?
I heard that they have to
the
make
neighbor
a decision.
Boy has a. The neighbor boy has brought out a what are those called that fly in the sky? Right, as
a drone.
The dog.
Oh,
a drone.
True.
Yes. All right, we're going in. Sorry. Stella is definitely not pleased about the drone in the middle of our cul-de-sac. Chewy, your question.
Jason, they have to make a decision on Eric Stokes fairly soon. Are they going to give him the fifth-year option?
I don't think so. Do you?
I don't think they can.
I mean,
if they draft Cooper, well, would the draft have taken place already, Jason? And then they have to make a decision?
Yes.
Or do they have to make a decision? So if they draft Cooper,
the draft will take place.
There's no chance.
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're looking honestly at what Eric Stokes' resume is right now, he started the season as a rookie, a little up and down, finished the season pretty well, right? Felt pretty good about him toward the end of 21. Then in 22, you know, he obviously had the ACL or the foot injury and the knee injury, which were problematic, and ended his season early. Last year, he finally comes back, And then he's got more issues, right, with the hamstring. So I look at him as you don't know, A, just how good he's capable of being, but B, you don't know how durable he's going to be. And you can't risk, if Goody wasn't willing to give the fifth-year option to Love, and his quote was, that's a lot of money to give a guy who hasn't played, then he has to feel the same way about where his 2021 first-round pick sits three seasons into his career. Like, he has played more than Love had, plays a different position, the numbers different than the one that they would have had to pay to their quarterback. But I don't see any way they give him the fifth-year option, because you know that's the kiss of death for me. But I think it's highly unlikely. I really do.
Yeah.
Do you know what
the number is?
Darnell's. What the what?
Do you know what the number is?
No, I don't know what the number is.
$12.4 million. That would be fully guaranteed.
But I didn't think they were going to give it to Darnell Savage, and they did.
And I think they regretted that.
I think they did too. But I also think that they looked at what he did in his first 2 years in Pettine's system, right? Because that would have been 19 and 20. When I thought he actually, I was encouraged by what he was capable of being. It was 21 where obviously that first year in Joe Barry's scheme, we saw him miss tackles. Then 22, he got benched. So I remember having that conversation. He gets benched after the Tennessee game. And then you're like, well, great. They've already given him the fifth year option. So that's, you don't bench guys that you were confident enough in to give the fifth year option. So I think I would think that the Darnell Savage piece of this is a cautionary tale for them to say, hey, we like Eric, we hope he's healthy, and we'll be happy to extend him if he has the kind of season we would love for him to have in 2024. But we're, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people.
Jason, if they're serious
That's
about
the
this...
George Bush version.
If they're serious about this kicker competition, should they look at this Jake Bates guy who's hit 60-yard field goals back-to-back weeks in the UFL? I'm sure you have not seen this. You've got better things to be doing on your weekends than, you know, watching UFL highlights. But yeah, Jake Bates, 64-yard game winner week one, then drills a 62-yarder. And if I send you this highlight, Jason, he makes it look so easy. It looks like it's an extra point.
Yeah, first of all, I don't know, like, how serious of a competition is this? I've invoked the name of Giorgio Tavecchio when we've talked about this previously, that, yes, it's competition, but you still have someone you're rooting for in the competition if you're the Packers, if that makes sense. You know, don't forget, that summer that they brought Giorgio, or as Mike McCarthy called him, Sergio, that year that they brought him in, they also brought in another kicker late in camp to compete for a week or so with both of them. And so whether it's this UFL guy or somebody else that they take an interest in, they've got three kickers on the roster right now. I don't know if they'll stick with that all the way into training camp. I would doubt that. But I do think that they feel like, hey, after the way the season went, after the critical kick that Anders missed, we have to see how he responds to in-person competition. We have to test that. And, you know, they've added a guy, obviously, who has kicked in the league. But if you look at his numbers from last year, you know, with the Vikings, they're no different, really, than what we saw from Anders Carlson. They're certainly not meaningfully better. So I think it's a legit competition, but I watched as much of the UFL so far this season as I watched of WrestleMania, which at least the UFL, the outcome isn't predetermined.
Jason, I saw Flea got a promotion. Does that mean he's no longer the head trainer? Did they bring someone else in, or is that just a title move?
I think it's more of a title thing. Obviously, there are they promoted Nate Weir, who has been with the team for a couple of decades now, and who has been in charge of rehab and overseeing all that stuff. They've got a larger staff than they had when you were playing. And
yeah.
I would say that Flea will still be very involved. I think his title, and I have not talked to him about this yet, so I don't have full clarity on what his role will be. But I do think they've made him kind of a super supervisor with a much better title. You know, when you get those VP titles, not that the three of us are in any position to get those, but I think there's a pretty significant bump in pay and responsibility. But I think he's still going to be working with players like he always has. And knowing Flea like you do and like I do, I think that's really important to him. I don't think that's something he would ever want to give up.
I love Flea.
Just a little 2 weeks away, over 2 weeks away from the draft, Jason, are there any story? I know you love the story aspect of prospects, not necessarily more about the three cone and shuttle times, but are there any draft stories that have stood out to you?
Well, first of all, speaking of stories, the Packers tailgate tour, once the drone flying child is done out in the cul-de-sac, Stella and I are headed to Lambeau because the bus leaves this morning, and our teammate slash buddy Brian Bulaga is one of the people on the bus.
Oh.
But more importantly, Elton Jenkins is on the bus and Rashid Walker is on the bus. And so from a story perspective, I'm going to go and hopefully talk to the three of them about the offensive line. Because from a Packers perspective, I think it's really interesting that this group loses. I can't think of a year quite like this on the offensive line where they lose three guys that started games for them. One, a borderline Hall of Famer. One, a 4-year starter until he started platooning late in his time. And then Yash, who had played a bunch for him as well. And yet at the same time, they kind of have their starting five set. Like, there's no obvious competition. Now, if they draft somebody at 25 that plays tackle, suddenly that changes the idea. But from left to right, right now, it's Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Sean Ryan, who they clearly were grooming to be their starting right guard, and then obviously Zach Tom, who's been fantastic. So from a Packers storyline, to me, that's, you know, one of the really interesting things about this offseason. And for as many holes as they have defensively, I think there's a distinct possibility that they're going tackle in the first round. That would not surprise me one bit. Now, from the prospect perspective, I haven't done a whole lot of digging yet. I don't like to get too smitten with prospects that are unlikely to be playing for the team that I cover. As you well know, once they get drafted and I start to dig into their stories, that's when I really enjoy the draft.
Jason, is Zach Tom a free agent next year?
So he is going into his third year. So no, he will have
one more year.
He was on the But to your point, like that's he strikes me as a guy that if you're going to be proactive, if you want to get deals done, so you don't have to worry about guys, you know, blowing up the market. You know, again, I spend most of my day with a guy who played right tackle at a very high level, and then Brian Bulaga is on our show weekly like he is with everybody else. You know, those are two guys that played the right tackle position extremely well, and both of them think Zach Tom is fantastic. Like, I think they both said that he's better than they were. So he would be a prime candidate to try and, you know, use that whole concept of, hey, we're going to mitigate your risk by paying you early, and you're going to save us some money by signing early. I would think that he would be at the top of their list of guys from that 2022 draft that they want to get something done with sooner rather than later. But it's not something that can happen in the very near future.
In terms of money for stuff like that, Jason, they're going to have a little bit of money that opens up on June 1st, right? Because even though he's gone and he can sign with a different team, Campbell was designated a June 1st release, so they have to carry that cap hit until June 1st. Am I correct in that? And then after June 1st, then that can open up some money potentially for little extensions like that.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. I am not a capologist by trade. I'm not really sure what I am by trade. If you stop to think about it for a while.
I think you're a dog walker.
Look, or the angry neighbor. Like that, I was not pleased with that, by the way. I don't know if you could tell it in my voice over the loud barking of the dog. Like, he flew it right above us. Like, dude,
oh, he did.
You have a backyard. You're killing me here.
Who throws a drone at 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah, first of all, is it spring break up there? Like, what's going on? Shouldn't this kid be in school right now?
I think they might go to a school that doesn't start till later, so he's passing the time till mom takes them to school. But great family. Just really would have preferred not having the drone go while I was on the radio walking the dog so I can get to Lambeau. But what was the question again? Oh, cap space.
It doesn't matter, Jason.
I don't. Well, so here's the thing. I mean, you know, and this is I'm not going to get off on any sort of Aaron Jones rant here, but the suggestion that bringing him back was going to be problematic for the cap. I just, with the way the cap is going, does any of us feel like the cap is really, really an issue these days? Like, unless you are in absolute cap hell because you extended a bunch of old guys who then broke down and you got all their dead cap money and they're not on your roster, which is really only Bakhtiari, and they actually saved cap space this year by moving on from him. I don't feel like the cap because of, I mean, it jumped nearly $31 million this year. Like, yeah. I know Chewy's old, but like, that's like the size of the cap when he was a young player, basically. I mean, it's not that big, but it, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, the money is so crazy that I just don't think that it's as big of a factor. And if you want to get stuff done, there's ways to get it done. Now, I would say this. The one thing that's interesting, they could have created cap space by moving money around in Kenny Clark's contract. And Kenny's on the tour today, too. So I'm hoping, you know, I mean, he's going into a contract here, which is crazy. He still isn't 30, by the way. And this team is not big on the third contract, the guys. And they certainly regret the third contract they gave to Bakhtiari because of his injury. But they chose not to do that, which would have pushed a pretty big matzo ball of cap hit into 2025. I wonder if that's because they're not quite sure, as good as he is as a player, as good as he is as a leader, if they're not quite sure that they want to bring him back on a third contract. So there are things that are cap-related that matter. I'm just saying that in this time, if you really want to get something done, there is nothing stopping you from doing so.
Jason, I think there's more cap space than there are good players.
I agree.
That's fair. Well,
I really do.
I like that take.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I really think there are.
Yeah, and I think there's been, obviously, inflation with contracts, right? Like, you know, I was watching the Reggie White documentary the other night again, and, I mean, his big 4-year, $17 million deal, like, that is peanuts.
That's
right?
A middle reliever.
I mean, those are $1993.
That's a fullback.
Right. 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 Josiah DeGuara would have been happy with that deal for sure.
Yes.
Jason, is there any credence to maybe they're trying to figure out Jordan Love before they go into that extension game, or do you think that's not really connected at all?
All right, so when I say this, I don't mean this like I'm bitter because Goody said that Aaron Jones would absolutely be returning and he wasn't. But when he says things like it's going to take a while on the Jordan Love extension, I'm a little leery. I don't want to say, okay, well, it's not happening until training camp. That's what I think that means. But I know there are folks that are like, hey, they should get something done on May the 4th. Be with you. That's Gabe. The first day that they're eligible to sign them to that. I think that that is going to be somewhat protracted, but again, it's hard for me to picture him really wanting to go into training camp or the season without the enormous amount of guaranteed money that he would be getting.
Jason, appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you again on Thursday, although I will be talking to you on Wilde and Tausch coming up later today.
Well, I'm going to fire up my own drone, and I'll talk to you then, buddy.
All right, sounds good, pal. Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There is one prospect who had his pro day yesterday that his name keeps coming up with the Packers, but do we have to cross him off the lists? We asked that question. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.